Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, July the 16th. And welcome to our commentary. Well, it's very hot down here, so I'm not going to dwell on that. It's about 100, it's over 100 degrees, and it's going to be like that for several days. So I don't know. We call it summer here in Texas. And, you know, for all the time I've lived here in Texas, we've had summers like this before. 2011 comes to my mind. 1988, I remember we had a horrible streak. And, of course, best of all, still goes back to 1980, where they had something like 35 consecutive days with temperatures of 100 degrees. We're nowhere near that. Probably won't get that. But, man, it can get hot down here. It can get very hot in Texas. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. It's just you just get used to it. You turn on the air, and you sit by the shade. You go in the swimming pool, and life goes on. Life goes on here in the wonderful state of Texas. Well, today we're going to talk about a couple of stories here in the last couple of days, and I'm going to close with Joe DiMaggio, who did something pretty amazing 81 years ago today. Let me begin with LeBron James. Am I the only person who thinks LeBron James should stick to the NBA and play in basketball? LeBron James has a knack for just saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I think I'm going to sympathize a little bit with LeBron, cut him a little slack. He's obviously a very well-known player. Everywhere he goes, he has microphones around him. So I think he probably doesn't think what he says. But he made a comment about this young woman who is under arrest in Russia, something to the effect that this young woman didn't want to come back or shouldn't come back to the United States. And he probably didn't mean it the way it came out. I think he did correct himself later. But I believe the lesson here, the moral of the story, as they like to say, is that LeBron James is an excellent basketball player, maybe one of the top five basketball players of all time, maybe the top three. I don't know. I don't know basketball as well as I know baseball, but he's certainly one of the great ones. And I think he really should stick to the NBA, just stick to playing basketball and, you know, leave the politics to other people. That's what I would say to LeBron. President Biden was in Saudi Arabia. I think he's still over there. He's coming back, I believe, this weekend. And when he was over there, he met with the leadership of Saudi Arabia. And, you know, there was the controversy about that journalist who was killed a few years ago. And there's a lot of controversy about the fact that he didn't shake hands, but he did this, whatever they call this. You know, we started doing this, I guess, during the pandemic, whatever they call this. He did it to the other guy from Saudi Arabia. And a lot of controversy. But the bottom line is that he went there to see if he can get the Saudis to, you know, pump more oil. And he's coming home with nothing. And the reason he's coming home with nothing is because the Saudi Arabians know that he's in trouble. They know he's weak. And if you go to Saudi Arabia begging them to pump more oil, you're not going to get them to do anything. Or they're going to increase the cost of doing business to a point where you won't be able to do the deal because you're not going to be able to satisfy what they're demanding, probably weapons or whatever it may be. Remember, he's got to get that approved by the Congress, and that's going to be a very difficult thing to do. But the bottom line, this was a complete mistake on the part of President Biden to go to Saudi Arabia and try to get them to pump more oil when we have enough oil in Texas, in Oklahoma, in Louisiana, in Alaska. And if we add Alberta, Canada to the mix, we probably have enough oil here in North America to take care of all of our needs for a long time. And to have to go over there and beg them for oil, big mistake, huge mistake. And there's something about that region that they can smell weakness. And when they smell weakness, well, they try to get a deal, the best deal they can from you. And I think in this case, I just don't know how he's going to get anything approved by the Congress, because Saudi Arabia wants more weapons. And that, again, has to be approved by the Congress, and he's not going to get that approved by the Congress. Well, to say that the Democrats are going crazy over Senator Manchin of West Virginia would be an understatement. but they are. And that's because Senator Manchin has made it very clear that he's not going to spend any more money until we have a, until control of inflation. You know, the Democrats wanted to do this Build Back Better, this additional spending bill. And Senator Manchin said, no, we cannot spend money at a time of inflation. Senator Manchin is 100% right. This is not the time to be pumping more money into the American economy. The time when you have the inflation rates that we have, I mean, the producer price index came out a couple of days ago, very high. The inflation rate is very high. So Senator Manchin, actually, he's saying to the Democrats, look, guys, I cannot play along with you because I cannot explain this to the people of West Virginia. And you know, he's exactly right. And what the Democrats don't realize is that Senator Manchin is actually doing them a favor, because our inflation today would even be higher if he had gone along with that package earlier in the year. And inflation would only be extended if we do another spending. Senator Manchin is actually helping the Democrats. But of course, the Democrats, I guess they want to do as much as they can before November, because they know they're losing at least the House. The Senate is still more competitive, but at least the House they're going to be losing. And if you lose the House, well, you're not going to be able to do much of anything in the Congress. But they're going after Senator Manchin. They're calling him all kinds of names. And that's a very stupid thing to do. Very stupid thing to do, because they're going to need Senator Manchin for their votes down the road. Well, I want to wish a very happy number 79 today. John, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you know who I'm talking about. Jimmy Johnson, of course, coached the Cowboys from 89 to 93. He made it to two Super Bowls. He won both of them. He was one of the greatest coaches that the Cowboys ever had, after Tom Landry, maybe the best one. But he and, you know, he and Jerry Jones got into a fight after winning the second Super Bowl, and they broke up the team. And as it turned out, the Cowboys did go back to the Super Bowl one more time. But they've never been the same team since that particular time period. I mean, they've gone nearly 30 years without getting into postseason or going deep into the postseason. I cannot remember the last time that the Cowboys got into the NFL championship game or the NFC championship. They played in several playoffs, but they've never gone very deep, to say the least, in the NFL postseason. But they would have done so with Jimmy Johnson. I think that if Jimmy Johnson had stuck around, they would have won probably not just one more, but probably a couple of more, because he did have the ability of leading and coaching players. There's no question about it. He was a great leader. And I think it was a huge mistake for Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones, who apparently were great friends in college, and it was Jerry Jones who brought Jimmy Johnson here. They got into it, and they never – I think they finally did make up, but it was too late to do anything about that great – or those great Cowboy teams of the early 1990s. Well, let's talk a little bit. So happy number 79 to Jimmy Johnson. I would always get the two of them confused, Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones. Happy number 79 to Jimmy Johnson. Well, let's talk a little bit about the big story this weekend on this day in history, and that's Joe DiMaggio. It was 81 years ago, July 16th, 17th, that Joe DiMaggio was a part of perhaps the greatest of all baseball records. You can certainly argue no-hitters by Nolan Ryan was an amazing record, or Ty Cobb and Ted Williams, they all had great records, and obviously Willie Mays, some of the other great players. But what Joe DiMaggio did in 1941, he began on May 15th, and he had 56 consecutive games where he had at least one hit. And that streak of 56 consecutive games was continued. In fact, it was on July the 16th that he made it to number 56. And that was at Cleveland, where he had two hits. So he had 56. He was way ahead of the next one. The next one is 44. No one has ever come close to Joe DiMaggio ever since. And then that takes us to July 17th, which would be Sunday in 2022. But on July 17th, they were once again, the Yankees were playing the Indians in Cleveland, because everybody in the whole country was caught up with Joe DiMaggio. I mean, you have to remember, this is before television. This is before, I mean, back then, fans used to get the news by newspaper, which means they would get the story the next day. You know, you pick up the newspaper the next day and you read about Joe DiMaggio. That honestly used to happen. The whole country was caught up in Joe DiMaggio's 56-game streak. So it ended on July 17th, which would be Sunday of this year. He went to Cleveland. He actually hit the ball very hard four different times, but twice the third baseman for the Cleveland Indians just made great plays and probably took away two hits from Joe DiMaggio that night. So the streak ended. Everything was over on June 17th. But what Joe DiMaggio did over 56 games is just absolutely unbelievable. It's hard to think that any human being in any sport could be that consistent, and especially in baseball where, you know, hitting every day and you're playing every day and you're facing different pitchers. It's kind of hard to believe that anybody could actually do it 56 games in a row. Well, as I said, number two on that list is Pete Rose, and he did it. He got to 44 1978. And then Paul Molitor of the Milwaukee Brewers got to number 39 in 1989 or 1987. So, I mean, there's a big difference between 56, 44, and 39. And it just underlines the incredible. I've always admired the streak. And every year when the anniversary of the streak comes up, I get excited about it and I read more and more about it. A couple of things about this streak that always impressed me. Number one, he played doubleheaders. You know, back then they used to play doubleheaders a lot more often than they do now. And he would play the doubleheader. He did not sit out the second game, which is what a lot of stars used to do. Usually when you're a big-name player, like in Joe DiMaggio, the manager would say, Joe, you don't have to play the second game. You can sit your legs and, you know, just take the night off. But he wouldn't. He would go out there and play every single game. He would play every game during that streak. So he was out there. You know, when you play two games in one day, well, your chances of not getting hit obviously go up. But no, he was out there for every game, every doubleheader. Another amazing thing is that there was a streak about six or seven games in a row where he only had one hit. So, you know, any one of those games in the streak would have been over, but he was out there every single day getting at least one hit. And the other thing, too, is that he faced some pretty good pitchers like Bob Feller of the Cleveland Indians. He faced him twice, and it's off of Bob Feller. So to me, as I say, I love the streak. I love the story. I think Joe DiMaggio is one of the greatest baseball players of all time. There's something else, too, about this streak that you need to remember. It happened in the summer of 1941, and the country in 1941 was obviously following what was going on in Europe, and Europe is at war, and Japan and the Pacific. Everybody was at war that year except the United States. So everybody was very concerned back here that we would be going to war. So that streak by Joe DiMaggio sort of kept the country, you know, kept your mind off the terrible things that were happening in Europe with the war. So the streak, it's come to be known as the streak. It's just one of the greatest sporting events of all time. By the way, I have a post about all of this and where I detail some of the games and some of the numbers on Sunday. That'll be coming out. During the streak, and I'll leave you with this, during the streak, he hit over 400. He had like 92 hits and 223 at-bats or something like that, hitting way over 400, and he drove in a bunch of runs as well during the streak. Joe DiMaggio, one of my favorites. I never saw him play, obviously. I've only read about him. He was, without question, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, the great Joe DiMaggio. Here's a trivia question. He had two brothers who played in the major leagues as well. And I'll be happy to, you can read about that, by the way, in my blog, because I'm running out of time here. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy your weekend. And if you get a chance, check out my blog about Joe DiMaggio. I think you're going to like it a lot. Bye-bye.